Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And our big announcement yesterday, we are now the official radio partner of Vanderbilt Athletics. And joining us now is Vanderbilt head baseball coach Tim Corbin. Coach, appreciate you for joining us. You are now on the road to Louisville, the Battle of the Barrel tonight. Vandy and Louisville on the diamond tonight. What does this game mean to you and to your team, having a big name program as a midweek game this late in the season?
Well, certainly a tough game in between SEC competition for sure, and playing on the road probably makes it doubly tough. But this has been a good game for both teams. It certainly has been spirited over the years, going back to, I guess we first started 2008, but it became something in 2010 when we had the flood. And that game raised proceeds for flood victims inside of Nashville. And then 2 years later, they decided to put more on it and put it as a Battle of the Barrel for Vanderbilt and Louisville. And ever since that time, I guess this will be the 11th meeting between the two teams. Been good games, a lot of good games, a lot of good regionals, Omaha, and then certainly this game in particular. But, good opponent, good team, and certainly a good friend, too. Dan McDonald and his wife, Julie, been close with Maggie and I for some time. We're on the ABCA board together, but teams will play one another, so we're excited about that.
Absolutely. Tim Corbin is with us, Vanderbilt baseball coach. We were just kind of throwing this around at the break, talking about consistency between the college level and the professional level. And the biggest difference between the college, or one of the biggest differences between the college baseball game and the major league game, is aluminum versus wooden bats. How would you feel about potentially, you know, welcoming in and bringing in wooden bats to create a little bit more consistency between the college level and the pros?
Well, yeah, I think the product doesn't bother me at all. We use wood in the fall, and the kids use wood all summer when they go off and play in the summer league. So they're pretty accustomed to training and playing with wood bats. Although the aluminum bat companies, they support us unlike any other company, I guess, when you think of gloves and bats and apparel. Wilson for us, who also were the maker of DeMarini and now Louisville Slugger. So I think that's the piece that would probably get lost in all of it in terms of the product itself. Wood, yeah, I don't have any problem with that. It's a nice game when it's played with wood, but we've managed quite well with aluminum, and the way the aluminum's made today, it's a very good product. And it's not really, when you talk about ball flight, not a whole lot different than the wood. I mean, it might travel a little bit further. The exit speeds are maybe a touch better, but I think in general, it's just sustainability of the bat itself and not breaking as many wood bats.
We're talking with Vanderbilt's head baseball coach, Tim Corbin. Now, Coach, in the wake of what has happened in Alabama, what we see now has happened at the University of Iowa with some of their players. Hell, we've seen it in the NFL with guys making bets and placing bets and they end up getting suspended. As a college coach, how do you educate your players? Is it an ongoing thing, especially now that these bets are so accessible, that guys can make bets on their phone from anywhere they want to? Many years it was very difficult to do that. Now it's a lot easier. How do you as a coach approach that? I know you preach about it at the beginning of the season, and the NCAA has their rules, but as a coach, how do you approach it?
Well, you approach a lot of different things that don't have anything to do with baseball, that being one of them. I mean, you know, our classroom is set up for that. It's just to educate the kids. And I think more than anything, you don't wait for those times of breakdown before you start broaching subjects, whether it's drugs, whether it's sex, whether it's race, whether it's gambling, what have you. I mean, the awkward conversations that sometimes parents have with their kids, I enjoy those conversations with our boys, because I think that's the one time where you can really get down to the foundational thoughts of what you think is right and what you think is wrong. No agenda, but just talking about what it means to be a good human and to make good decisions in your life that are going to be advantageous for you as a person and advantageous for the group of people that you're with. When you decide to join a team, you go from independence to interdependence. And when you go into interdependence, it means there's more pressure on the decisions you make, because they not only affect you, but they affect the people around you. So I think that's kind of an ongoing theme, Dee, when, you know, inside of our program anyway. I've enjoyed coaching for all these years, but I think the coaching part is mainly turned to teaching, and it's teaching of young males, and I enjoy that a lot. And that's one subject that we certainly have broached and talked about, and you can't talk about it enough. I mean, people will make mistakes, but mm-hmm. you just don't want those to be mistakes that are going to kind of take them in a different trajectory. You just don't want that to ever happen to a young kid.
Tim Corbin is with us, head Vanderbilt baseball coach. They take on Louisville tonight. Corb's interesting. You got Carter Holton, who has been, you've seen a lot of really good pitchers come through your program. And like a lot of them, Carter Holton has excelled as a freshman, which is good right away. But he's in a little bit of a mini slump. So when you have a player going through something like that, you know his ability. How do you try to get him through a rough time?
Well, I think for him, Willie, it's more about probably his health than anything else. You're not feeling right. And the one thing about Carter Holton is you're talking about a blue-collar kid, a kid that's worked his entire life and very competitive. And when things aren't going well, he's the most frustrated out of anyone. And, you know, that's the way he's pitching. That's not how he pitches. So I think from him, it's more of a health issue. And we're kind of just checking his arm to make sure that he's in a good place more than anything else. But I think when pitchers do go into slumps, then it's either health or it's some adjustment that they have to make, or maybe it's a pitch selection, or maybe they're giving away pitches. But I think with him, he's more of lost a little bit of command, and that's not him. That's not how he pitches. He's a command pitcher that can command several pitches. So we're just making sure his health is good right now.
Another guy that I've really enjoyed watching this year is Hunter Owen. He was just dominant at Alabama this last weekend, and I've seen him go through some evolution. Like a lot of different guys on your team, they go through different pathways to success. But, man, he looks like he has hit another level here when he's on.
He sure has. I mean, you talk about the progression. He's certainly one of them. I mean, he's a young man from Maine who really hadn't played a lot of baseball. He played baseball, but being from Maine, you're basically playing in the months of April and May and then playing during the course of the summer. And he's kind of a three-sport guy, too, because he played football and basketball. But he's a self-made kid. He's really made a lot of growth physically. He's changed his body, and I would say more emotionally, because this is a very intense kid. So he's basically channeling his energies on the mound, which he's done. And that game the other night was, he continues to get better every time he touches the ball. But that game the other night was about as good a game as he's pitched, and he's progressively gotten better. But I love him. I mean, he competes for the team. He's such a team-oriented kid, too. And I feel like he's got a lot of baseball to play, too. He's very durable. He's very good size and pretty good athlete as well.
You've talked a lot over the years about, you know, you have to be tough to play in the SEC and play at the level. You're going to have some rough patches. It was your guys' bats collectively ran up against it this last week. It's hard to win on the road in the league. So how do you try to keep that mental sharpness with your team, knowing that over the course of a baseball season, you're going to have a couple weekends where the ball isn't falling? I saw how many balls were hit to the warning track at Alabama over the weekend, where just another foot or two, it's probably a double off the wall, or some other parks, it's probably out of the park.
That's right. I mean, there's certain plays or situations that happen within a game that could certainly change the context or the outcome of the game. And I think you have to put it in perspective. It's tough right after, because win or lose, you're basically rolled up in the emotion of what the outcome was. But then after it leaves you, then you can make better sense of it 24 hours later. And that's what you have to do. I know I've talked to you about this before, but I think, you know, recovering from winning is just as important as recovering from losing. The ability of a young kid to, an older kid for that matter, to center themselves and stay focused on what they're doing right now and stay present is the challenge that that all athletes face. And I think just getting yourself right back into a situation where, okay, we start all over again, because all that matters is what you're doing right now. The past is gone, and really your future lies in what's right in front of you. And for young kids to get them to do that, if you can, then I think you can be exposed to great consistency. Now, as consistent as you are inside this league, there's no bottom tier. And because there's no bottom tier, your top teams, at least in the standings this week, all lost. And that can happen. And it can certainly happen in this league. So it's just, you just correct yourself as quickly as you can and understand that, you know, you're still a good team. We're in a good place. We just got to go forward. And this last part of our schedule, I'm like, my gosh, you got Louisville tonight. I don't even want to think about the weekend because that's in Florida. And then you get back, you got MTSU, which is always tough. And then you finish off with Arkansas. So right up until the regional, when you get done with this season, you take a deep breath, because you know that whatever you went through, there's likely no other team outside of teams in your conference. And there's a lot of good teams in the country that have gone through what you've weathered during the course of the season. And that's why the SEC tends to be there at the end when you talk about national championship teams.
The SEC indeed is a gauntlet. Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt head baseball coach, appreciate you for joining us. Looking forward to our station's partnership with Vanderbilt Athletics.
Thanks, gang. I appreciate it as well.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Tim. Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt head baseball coach. Demas, you asked him a very interesting question. The Alabama baseball betting scandal, and what has now transpired after that initial story came out? Because it looks like it's not slowing down anytime soon. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMays, 1025-1063 The Game.
How do you as a coach approach that? I know you preach about it at the beginning of the season, and the NCAA has their rules. But as a coach, how do you approach it?
Well, you approach a lot of different things that don't have anything to do with baseball, that being one of them. I mean, you know, our classroom is set up for that. It's just to educate the kids. And I think more than anything, you don't wait for those times of breakdown before you start broaching subjects, whether it's drugs, whether it's sex, whether it's race, whether it's gambling, what have you. I mean, the awkward conversations that sometimes parents have with their kids, I enjoy those conversations with our boys, because I think that's the one time where you can really get down to the foundational thoughts of what you think is right and what you think is wrong. No agenda, but just talking about what it means to be a good human and to make good decisions in your life that are going to be advantageous for you as a person and advantageous for the group of people that you're with. When you decide to join a team, you go from independence to interdependence. And when you go into interdependence, it means there's more pressure on the decisions you make, because they not only affect you, but they affect the people around you. So I think that's kind of an ongoing theme, Dee, when, you know, inside of our program anyway, I've enjoyed coaching for all these years, but I think the coaching part is mainly turned to teaching, and it's teaching of young males, and I enjoy that a lot. And that's one subject that we certainly have broached and talked about, and you can't talk about it enough. I mean, people will make mistakes, but you just don't want those to be mistakes that are going to.
That was Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt head baseball coach, on betting and dealing with betting within your locker room, to having those conversations with your team. And those conversations are now relevant and absolutely necessary given some of the recent news that has come out over the last few days We discussed this last week on the show, but the biggest news that came out of Alabama, out of Tuscaloosa this past week, they fired their head baseball coach, Brad Bohannon, who had been there for 6 seasons, because it came out that he was giving betting advice to a friend who placed a very large bet on LSU baseball in their series with Alabama. So Brad Bohannon got fired for his involvement in sports betting on his own team. And then now, another story that has come out, that between both Iowa and Iowa State, 41 student athletes are being investigated on allegations of prohibited online sports wagering. And it is something that has happened so quickly. On May 2nd, the University of Iowa was notified of some potential betting involvement from some of their student athletes or, you know, people at the university. By May 5th, the University of Iowa notified some of their student athletes that they were not eligible to participate, including one of Iowa's best baseball players. So this is something that now I think Alabama has opened up a can of worms. And now every team, every state across the country, whatever betting bureau is in charge of the casinos and the betting in those states, are now on high alert on potential, bad business within the betting market.
We asked this when the Alabama story came up. And that is, okay, if this happened, do we think it's the only incident where somebody around a college sport has been placing bets, knowing that it is so, as you use the word with Tim Corbin, accessible, right? Mm-hmm. It's so easy for everybody. It's on your phone. It's legal in almost every, or I don't know about almost every state. I don't know what the count is right now, but every year another state ratifies it.
I believe more than
right?
half.
Yeah, and it seems like the states that don't have it, it's like, well, when are we going to get it?
Exactly.
You know, why aren't we like all these other people? It's like everybody's falling in line to some degree. So Iowa, let's just take the baseball team. There's a number of athletes in a number of different sports. Same thing with Iowa State, where somebody on the regulation side, and thank goodness we have these regulations, right, is saying, look, we got an issue here. Mm-hmm. We got to crack down. But Iowa, their baseball team, they're 34-12. They beat LSU earlier this year. So, you know, Big Ten baseball isn't always the greatest, but this is a really good team that's having a great season. And they had to take their best player out of the lineup the last 3 games. Who knows what will happen going forward? I don't know exactly what he did, but they held him out. So, as Tim Corbin was saying, you try to educate your team so that you don't get in this position where, number one, that kid has now got issues that he personally has to deal with. But he's also put his team in jeopardy, right? He has affected his team's season. Hopefully this gets worked out. I don't know the details or anything. But I think we know it's just human nature. It would be a natural temptation for a lot of college kids to want to do this, right? Even if you're not 21 or you're not, it probably depends on the state. I think in Iowa you got to be 21, so that might be the issue. Guys were placing bets, they're not 21. Mm-hmm. But as an NCAA rule, no matter what state you're in, you cannot bet on sports, basically. You can't bet on any sport. Forget about pro sports, college sports, whatever. If it's a sport that the NCAA has a championship in, you are not allowed to bet. So there's eligibility issues here. Quite frankly, I'm kind of surprised that this hasn't happened more in the last couple of years as this trend has happened, the legalization of gambling. So here we go, but I am, what dawns on me is like, it's very important that these regulators do find kids that are doing it. Hopefully you stop it. Hopefully those kids learned a lesson right here and they're like, man, I'm never doing that again. But we know it can be addictive, right? We all remember our college dorms. There was always somebody that like, oh, poor so-and-so. He got in a hole. He's bet on the Monday night football game 3 weeks in a row. He's down $50. He doesn't have $50. I mean, you know, there's always that guy, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, because whether it's the accessibility being, you know, the betting being so accessible, whether it be on your phone. Because you can walk out of your classroom and make a bet. Hell, you could be sitting in your classroom listening to a lecture and make a bet. And I think these coaches, a lot of them, if not all of them, well, obviously not Alabama's, but a lot of these coaches
Not Elder. Now, you know that guy played a season at Vanderbilt, by the way?
I don't think Vandy wanted you to bring that up, Willie.
That was way back. Long time ago.
No.
Not on my team. Wasn't on my team.
But I think these coaches try to go out of their way to make sure these improprieties are not happening. Because they know how easy it is for a guy to just be sitting there, and we all know how it is. I mean, you know, you're sitting in your dorm room and you got maybe $10 to your name, and you know, you need a couple extra bucks, and you're trying to figure out where you're going to get it from. The easiest thing is to, okay, I can make a bet on this game and win a couple of dollars. I put down money I really don't have to win a couple of extra dollars. I can do it now because it's so easy. I don't have to go to a brick and mortar and travel however far to do that just
to
put a bet in.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So these coaches understand how easy it is for these young men and women to make bets. That's why, you know, asking Corbin, how do you approach it? Is it a consistent education on it? Because it can't just be, we're going to talk about it at the beginning of the year when you get here and that's it.
Yeah.
He even said, you got to talk about it before anything even happens. And, you know, it's going to become, I think that's why the NIL was so good, even though they sort of did it, you know, butt backwards in a sense. But it was good because now there's income coming in to these college students where they don't feel they may have to sort of bend the rule or break the rule, you know, in secrecy just to get a couple of extra dollars. Now, you know, you got NIL and, you know, and that needs to be worked out in itself. Right. But at least I have another a legal avenue to sort of get
money. You can't use that as an excuse as much as maybe you could 20
years ago.
Well,
I ain't had no money, so I had to do this. Well, no, you do got something now. But still, even with that, I think these coaches, they need to be vigilant because these, what you want to call them, bookies or sites, they're telling on people now.
Yeah. Well, here's my question going forward. You guys, I would like to hear your opinion on this and everybody else listening. So what should be the penalty? You heard Tim Corbin say, these are college kids. They're going to screw up, right? Some kids are going to make mistakes. They're going to make a bad decision. I don't doubt that this happened here. Mm-hmm. But this is a very serious thing. It just cost a college coach's job for basically one bet. But you cannot have the integrity of a game compromised. So what should the punishment be for a first offense? Let's say, you know, they got kids in different sports. Let's say they all did the same thing. They were betting. Should they be ineligible for the rest of the season? Like what should be the punishment when you're trying – you've got to hold the integrity of the game?
I think it should be – there should be –
A level.
Like, if I'm a college student and I bet on an NBA game, okay, it's illegal to bet, but it was on the NBA game. So
it's different than betting on your team
or against your team or another team within your division. You're betting on them or betting against them. No, you can't do that. Well, the first event is a one-game suspension. You knew it was wrong. You shouldn't have did it. I understand whatever reason you have, it's a one-game suspension for you. And then it's, you know, to me, it's community service. Have them do hours of community service. You know, it shouldn't be all of a sudden you make a bad decision in regards to betting, just a simple bet, and all of a sudden now I suspend you for half the season, all the season, or kick you out of school. No, it's one mistake. Give that individual an opportunity to make it right and show that they're not going to do it again.
Totally understand that, and I agree with the sentiment of it's so easy to place it. It is so accessible. You pick up your phone just as easy as you would check your email, check your text messages, check your Twitter. You can place a bet. It's also really easy to just not.
You're right.
I've got a hypothetical for you guys based on what we know about the Iowa. I'm going to throw it at you guys when we come back. I've got a hypothetical. What would you do? It's like an ABC after school special.
Let's get that coming up next. And hey, join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. So sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. It's a beautiful day out today. I'm in a great mood, so let's give away some John Fogerty tickets. Be the first person to answer Willie's trivia question correctly, and you will win a pair of tickets to see John Fogerty at First Bank Amphitheater on July 25th.
All right, well, John Fogerty, he sings the song Center Field.
Great baseball song.
It's a great baseball song. Of course, that's just the tip of the iceberg for those that know John Fogerty. But let's tie it in with sports, and let's have a question about famous center fielders. Okay? Great center fielder, New York Yankees, Mickey Mantle, switch hitter, war number 7. What state is Mickey Mantle from? 615-737-1025. What is Mickey Mantle's home state? 615-737-1025. Famous center fielders, go to see John Fogerty. Just call right now. Do not text the answer. You can if you want.
Yeah, you can.
We did earlier today. People texted. We had the Marc-Andre Fleury question. People texted me. They text my phone. They text the text line. They can't win. That's not how you can. You got to call. 615-737-1025. The home state of Mickey Mantle.
Sometimes you just got to get it out. I don't need the concert tickets.
I just want to know the answer.
And
I want these guys to know that
right.
You know.
All right, yeah, be the first person with Willie's trivia, the answer to Willie's trivia question, and you will win a pair of tickets to see John Fogerty at First Bank Amphitheater. So we're breaking down kind of the next saga, the next chapter in the college baseball, college sports betting scandal situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe scandal's a little bit too strong of a word, yep. But more so situation. It started with Alabama. They fired their head coach, Brad Bohannon, last week for his involvement in bets on the Alabama-LSU baseball series. And now Iowa and Iowa State are both involved in betting situations with their student-athletes.
Not a lot of detail in The Athletic that I read about the Iowa situation. But here's the hypothetical, the after-school special sort of, you know, ethical life lesson kind of thing. This is what it would make me stay up at night if I were an athletic director or an assistant athletic director or a coach sitting on one of these college campuses and reading this. Here's what we know from the story. The University of Iowa received information on 111 individuals, 26 of them current student athletes. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's one thing. That's trouble spot number one. Baseball, football, men's basketball, men's track and field, wrestling, one full-time athletic department employee. Mm. Okay, so the majority of the individuals beyond the 26 are student staff, former student athletes, or have no connection to UI athletics. But former student athletes, now this would be an interesting one, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say I graduated from Iowa. I was a good player. Not a household name or anything, but I had a nice career. Derek, you're two years younger than me. So you and I played together a couple mm-hmm. years. We're buddies. I don't play for the school anymore. You do. So I'm not an NCAA athlete anymore. I like to wager. It's legal now. I'm 21. I'm an adult. Mm-hmm. But now I am really dialed in to Iowa. I know people that I play with. I can get information. I know the injury situation. I know. See what I'm saying? This is where it kind of you start going down this
it's
road
muddy.
Of what could happen. I don't know what happened here. I have no idea. But that is a very easy thing to think is a logical thing that a young adult who doesn't have a whole lot of wisdom, that's not thinking about. I'm not thinking about Derek. I'm the dumb 24-year-old just trying to make a buck, mm-hmm. right? I got a new job. I don't want to live with my parents, mm-hmm. right? I'm looking for extra money. I don't want to deliver pizzas, right? I'm waiting for the big job to open up where my degree is. But, you know, I can make some money here. You know, but I'm putting you in jeopardy mm-hmm. by asking for information from you. You know what I'm saying? So this is the slippery slope that I worry about, things that can get some kids into trouble.
I think it's...
That's the after school special. Willie gets Derek into trouble.
On this episode...
Find out more.
A Full House.
Yes.
It's tough because you can't govern everything.
You're right.
I now have friends that work in front offices in professional leagues around sports, and they'll say, "Hey, I'm hearing that we want to take this guy in the draft. I'm hearing that this guy is injured." Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to get in trouble for that. You can't govern everything. You can't govern every single person's phone and text messages and who they're leaking information to. I would say there has to be a statute of limitations. If you bet on a game when you were a student athlete, now you're 35 and you're married with kids, what are you going to do? Vacate the wins? I think it's kind of difficult now since everything is so new that if you are no longer governed by the body of whatever school you go to, governed by the body of the NCAA, you're now out of reach of, punishable by law. And that's maybe not fair. Totally not fair. But that's just where it is now with this being such a new thing in sports and life is legalized sports betting. But I think if you are caught betting on games, whether it's your own team, whether it's, if you're an Iowa baseball player, the Iowa football team, which good luck if you're betting on Iowa football, geez Louise, anything, it's against the rules.
You got something against the Hawkeyes?
Pretty brutal offense, I do have to say. Had a great time covering them at the Music City Bowl. Brutal offense to watch, I do have to say. If you're a student athlete, like Tim Corbin said, we have these discussions with our student athletes. I'm sure the NCAA just shoves this down their throats of you can't bet, you can't bet, you can't bet. Those are the rules. And if we want to, which I know the NCAA does, I know that each individual state wants to maintain integrity with sports betting, since it is such a massive income for individual states. If they want to maintain that integrity, both for betting and for sports alike, you have to bring the hammer down. You have to make it so, such a scary thing for these student athletes to do that they don't do it because you don't want to compromise that integrity. Maybe it's not fair, but I would say if you are caught betting on a game and you are a student athlete, you're done for the season. That's probably not fair, and it's probably not fair if one player gets caught at the beginning of the season, one player gets caught, with four games left in the season. It's probably not fair, but it's not always going to be fair. But if they want to take it as seriously as I know that they want to take it, you have to put serious punishments on people who break the rule. It's a rule. You cannot break them.
That's an interesting one, Derek, because there isn't a big precedent, right? So as we sit here, you and I have our harebrained scheme, and we say, well, let's protect ourselves a little bit more. Let's have our friend Caroline. Mm-hmm. She'll place the bets. There's so many things you can do, but it's all new. So that's why I agree, because what should happen is Derek comes to me and says, Willie, I am not giving you any information. Do not call me again. We're buddies, but I can't jeopardize my career. And I should say, well, Derek, I don't want to get you in hot water here. Let's get rid of this harebrained scheme, right? But somebody's going to be tempted and go down this road. So I do think there have to be some big, big incentives or roadblocks to say, look, if you get caught, you are done for the season. No questions asked. I do think you have to have harsh penalties.
Yeah, I think you do. But when you start to involve multiple people in your hair scheme,
I don't have any hair, so it can't be a hair scheme. Hair-brained, maybe.
Hair-brained or whatnot, then you're more susceptible to being caught. When you start adding layers and people to your scheme, more times than not, you're going to get caught because eventually they're going to get to that one person that's going to start to spill the beans on everybody. So, if you do something like that, then it's almost like damn near racketeering if that's the case. It's like
got your own little sports book going.
Exactly. You got your own little thing going to hit you with the RICO and you're done for life. But... I understand what you're saying, Caroline, and there should be like this hard line. Like if you bet, then that's it. We can't sort of, delegate. Well, yours is worse than theirs and theirs was not as bad as yours. So we're only going to, I get that, even though I think they're just like in our judicial system. There's level of criminality. Like you get more years for certain things that you do. and certain things, you know, 1-5, whatever it is. It's just a level of punishment.
Thing in the NFL. Exactly. Like, Jameson Williams got 6 games because he didn't bet on the NFL, but he bet in an NFL
building.
Yeah, premises. Whereas other players bet on the NFL, so they got the full season.
Exactly. So there should be a level, but it's like if we want to nip it in the bud, then – hey, listen, it has to be a hard line across the board with everybody. But then you run into a situation like Willie where a guy calls you, and he could be a friend because he played at the university and you might have been a freshman or sophomore and they've already graduated. And then all of a sudden you've talked to him a few times here and there. You're still good friends where y'all see him, y'all have a good time or whatnot. And then that person calls you on the phone and say, hey, what's going on? Yeah, how's everybody doing? Y'all looking good. What's going on with the club? How's it? And then, you know, they're sort of massaging you to get you to tell things. And you don't know. You're just spilling the beans. You got diarrhea of the mouth. And it's just all coming out, you know. And then you turn back around and 2 or 3 months later, this dude gets popped for placing, you know, because he was involved with placing bets when he was a player. How do you then regulate that? Because it's like, well, I didn't know he was. He's a friend. He or she's a friend of mine, and they were once a part of the program, and they were just asking about the program, and I just told them I wasn't thinking anything.
It is tough, and I think that's why they kind of go through the judicial system of let's investigate, because this Iowa player, their best baseball player, he's under investigation.
Exactly.
He hasn't been slapped with, you know, you have been betting. So if let's say, you know, I am the current player, you're the former player, and I tell you, yeah, man, it stinks. Like, our shortstop, he just, you know, broke his shoulder. We're going to lose him for the season. And I'm just telling you that as a friend and in confidence. And then you go place, you know, $10,000 bet on the team that we're playing that weekend because you know that our shortstop is out. Mm-hmm. That might get flagged and it might get investigated that we had communication. But if it was investigated that, hey, I was just confiding in a friend, I wasn't giving betting advice, maybe that would be viewed as different. Whereas Brad Bohannon, the Alabama coach, said, place money on LSU.
Or it can even be, and I know we got to get to break here quickly, or it can even be someone that just left the program, is still at the university, but just left the program,
or
decided, I don't want to play no more, and just become a student. So they're still at the university under the age of 21, and they're asking you things about the team, and you're not thinking anything of it. And then that person gets flagged for making illegal bets. And now they're looking at you because you're his friend, and there's been some conversations recorded or text messages sent where you're giving him or her information, whereas you're like, I didn't know that's what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. I'm very glad I'm not the person that has to decide
what
the punishments will be. Overall, our overarching message, if you're a student athlete, don't place bets.
No, don't.
It's not that hard. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. D. Mace's Lakers were at it again last night. We'll get into that coming up next. And I tune in for Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure.
The best fourth quarter team in the NBA, the Lakers, outscoring the Warriors 27-17 in the fourth tonight. 95% success rate when teams go up 3-1. And the praise for Lonnie Walker raining down on him, rightly so. What a performance.
Give you two names, and you tell me about how you felt that play.
It's
definitely Lonnie Walker.
I
see you engaged with him.
Yes, sir.
What did you say to him, and what did you think about his performance?
It's not even about tonight. I've been telling him, I said, Lonnie, stay ready. We're going to need you at some point. And for him to be as young as he is, for him to have that professionalism, come out, stay ready when his number is called, we don't win this game without Lonnie Walker tonight, that's for sure.
Lonnie Walker, the savior for the Lakers last night in Game 4. Lakers go up 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors. We all expected it to be Lonnie Walker being the hero in the end, of course, how we all wrote it up.
Yeah, that's just how I wrote it up.
I never heard of the guy.
Never heard of him in my life.
I placed a bet Lonnie Walker would score 15 points in the fourth quarter.
Did you get some inside info from your boy LeBron?
I can't tell you that.
On the low.
No, this, I mean, this has been a good series in a sense of, because if you look at these two teams, regardless of what they went through during the regular season, you know, we know about the Lakers' woes at the beginning of the season, and then they made all those trades in the middle of the season and end up being, you know, the second best team in a national, in the NBA after the trade deadline. Because of they got shooters. They got guys that can shoot from the outside because they knew, listen, once LeBron penetrates and kick out, we need somebody to hit that shot. Or if AD gets in the middle, they double-team AD, he needs to be able to kick it out, and we need to get buckets, three-point buckets. We can't, you know, go into each and every game hoping and praying that we get some outside shooting, because before – the trade, they were horrendous from the outside.
They were not good.
As a team. And then you know Golden State's woes. They can't win away from their arena. They were the worst team ever after winning a championship to have the record they had on the road. They had the worst road record of any defending NBA champion the next following season. But this the Lakers right now, beside Denver, Denver's playing really good basketball, even though the Suns tied the series 2-2.
This is a fun series.
Devin Booker is playing out of his mind right about now.
KD is playing out of his mind.
Jokic hit 53 the other night. So you got a really good series going on over there. But beside them in the Heat, I think the Lakers are playing the best basketball collectively as a unit. Why? Because AD is starting – I think he's starting to realize that, listen, if we're going to win a championship this year, it has to be because of me. I know we still got LeBron on the team, but it's harder for LeBron to score now than it used to be, because now he can't just run through people like a freight train anymore, and he can't do some of the things he was able to do a few years ago. Now they have to lean heavy on AD, and when AD is on, it's very difficult to beat this team. Why? Because when he's playing that true center position, he can play with his back to the basket, he can play face up, he can play, you know, 15 to 17 to 20 feet outside the basket. He's a all-around mismatch for anybody. And then on the defensive end, he might be the best defensive player in this year's playoffs, what he's been able to do. So I can't see – it's going to be hard from Golden State to come back from a 3-1 deficit to win. Now, they got Steph. They can do just about anything with Steph.
Steph can't do it alone.
He can't do it alone. They're not getting enough play from Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole was excellent last year during the playoffs.
Not great last night.
He was one of the reasons why they won the championship. Andrew Wiggins was another reason. Those two guys, they're not getting the consistent play out of them that they did last year. Steph is beat up. They're making them work. They're changing defenses game to game. Just when they get adjusted, the Lakers do something else. And you have to take your hat off to Darvin Ham, because he's doing an excellent job. He's out coaching Steve Kerr right about now.
They talked a lot on SportsCenter today about whether it was a little bit more what the Warriors didn't do, or was it because of what the Lakers did do. But what highlights to me from what you're talking about, Derek, because I agree, how important to win a championship the supporting cast is. Remember a great thing from The Last Dance with Michael Jordan is when they first broke through and won the title against the Lakers, there was a point in Game 5 where Michael Jordan was told by Phil Jackson, look, the guy that's open is Paxson, right? The guy, if you go to Paxson, he's going to hit the shots. These guys can help you out. And he made, it was like a big moment in Jordan's career. He didn't feel like he had to do it all by himself. So I think that's such an interesting thing how the Lakers have reshaped the supporting cast to get the right people around LeBron at this stage of his career.
Because
the same is true of the Warriors. Like you said, they need more than just Steph Curry and Klay Thompson to do everything.
Because right now, Steph and LeBron, more LeBron than Steph, because Steph is the greatest shooter we've ever seen, so he's still able to get his points. But it's more so with LeBron. You can win games with LeBron. You can. He can win games for you single-handedly, but he can't win you a championship anymore by himself. He just can't. Hint, AD, Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell,
Lonnie Walker.
The fourth.
Vanderbilt playing good defense on Stephen Curry. You need everybody to win a championship now for LeBron. He can't do it by himself anymore.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Be love and love on somebody. Peace.
I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.